Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ online ministry. The message this week is titled Mother's Day. Thank you to Ed, Barbara, and Don for being part of the video. The scripture reading is Proverbs 31, 10 to 31. Happy birthday this week to Aisha.
Good morning, everyone. I'm happy to see you here this morning. I'd like to encourage you to come in, take a seat, as I spread out my many pieces of paper here, so I try not to forget anything. I'd like to wish a happy Mother's Day to those of you who are celebrating Mother's Day this morning. We're celebrating some events and some birthdays coming up, so happy anniversary this week to Stephen and Jenny. Happy birthday to Paul, which will come as a bit of a surprise to him. Also, happy birthday to Diane. I'd like to again apologize for putting the wrong number on. We are celebrating Diane's 80th birthday next week, and we are not rushing her along in any way. John is suffering from a back injury this week. He's not able to be with us this morning, so we're going to keep him in our prayers this week as well. And hope that that he can be well enough to be with us, and he and Gloria can be back with us again. Lord, thank you for this time that we can spend together. Thank you for the family that we have gathered here and gathered all around the world in your name. We know that you are here with us. You've told us you will be, and we know that you will never let us down. God, we are aware that this morning that John is suffering and in pain. We ask for your healing hand to be on him, to mend what needs mended, and to strengthen him so that he can get back to the things that he would like to be doing. We ask that we are able to support him and Gloria, and to be a community that comes together for them while he's not doing so great. Lord, today is a day of celebration for many people, for celebrating mothers, and we are thankful for the mothers in our lives, but we're also aware, God, of people who are finding today really challenging, whether they have maybe lost their mom this year, or 10 years ago, or 50 years ago, or lost a kid, or more than one kid. We ask for your comfort to be with them as they're grieving, or if they have a complicated relationship with their mom or with their kids. We ask for your comfort for them, and again, that we could be a community that comes together to raise them up, to support them, for those who don't have any kids, whether that is their choice, whether that is the way the world has worked out. We ask for, again, for your comfort, and to be a support to those people as today can be really hard for really a lot of people. God, we thank you for being here in our midst. We thank you for the great privilege we have to unite together, to raise our voices in song, to turn our minds to you. And we ask that this would charge us up for the week and get us ready to meet whatever it is that we've got ahead of us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
One of the things that I like about spring is that it's the start of golf season. And I hope that as last year rounds, same as last year, maybe I'll play 120 times this year. Some observations about golf. Number one, it's a solitary sport, but you do it in a social context. It's a bunch of problem solving, trying to decide where to hit the ball, what club to use, what kind of a force to exert on the ball. It's a lot of physics, a lot of problem solving. It's anger management. Because oftentimes when you are in your own headspace and you have intentions and you have the perfect shot visualized, it doesn't quite work out. You are 100% responsible for the flight of the ball. And to play effectively, you have to accept the result. If you do not accept the result, then the anger carries over to the next shot, and then it just downhill from there. Okay. Several things. It's social. It's physical. I get to walk about, I think about 15 kilometers while I'm playing. It's a solitary thing, but you do it with other people. And it reminds you about how much you fail. But you have to accept the result. Now, I don't go out there deliberately trying to make mistakes. Right. Like just walk up to the ball and hit it. I do not deliberately make mistakes. I'm focused. I have a plan in place. But you know what? I mess up. It's a metaphor for our lives. We do it together to some degree. Some of us were together more than others, but there's a group of us. There's a group here. We are doing life together to some degree. You know, it's announced that John is having back problems. And the prayer was like, okay, how can we help? So we do this together. So it's spiritual. It's social. We like each other. You know, we're sometimes in each other's homes. We care for each other. But despite all of this, sometimes we just make these colossal errors. Communion is about understanding that we're forgiven for that stuff. And I'm not just saying errors that we burnt the pie or we did something trivial like that. But, you know, in our judgment and in our decision-making, we have made errors in our lives, some colossal errors. But communion reminds us of that the God of the universe steps into our lives with Jesus Christ and steps in with forgiveness and steps in with mercy and love. And he has called us that despite the fact that we make all these mistakes, that maybe over the course of our lifetime, we will make less mistakes because we are trying to be like Jesus because he has called us with mercy and grace and love to forgiveness. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are grateful to you for the mercy and grace that you have extended to us in Christ Jesus. We cannot fathom how much of a sacrifice that must have been to send a part of yourself to this planet, to walk among people and to teach and to be a person of example, of humility, a person of love, a person of compassion, and then to die in such a horrible way that we might have forgiveness, that we might know that genuinely, our Father, that you love us and that you care for us and you want the best for us. And we pray, Father, with thankful hearts at this time, for this time of communion that reminds us of that broken body and that shed blood that leads us, helps us to understand what we're supposed to be about here in this life, that you might bless our good efforts and that you might forgive us of our failures. For these things, we are eternally grateful. Pray these things in your Son's name. Amen.
Mother's Day memories come in various forms. This really, really, really well-used Bible that I have was my mother's. And I looked at the date at the beginning. It was given to her by one of her grandchildren, December the 23rd, 1986. So she read it often, and it's a treasure. So this is called The Wife of Noble Character. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it out of her earnings. She plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate.
Thank you for being with us today. So today we want to honor and celebrate our women, particularly our mothers. A lady by the name of Margaret Whittemere wrote these words. Mother always leaned to watch for us, anxious if we were late, in winter by the window, in summer by the gate. And though we teased her tenderly, who had such foolish care, the long way home would seem more safe because she waited there. Her thoughts were all so full of us, she never could forget. And so I think that where she is, she must be waiting yet. Waiting till we come home to her, anxious if we are late, watching from heaven's window, leaning from heaven's gate. There are many spiritually gifted women, spiritually gifted mothers. Many of them are here. They demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit, women of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and control. Some of us remember the diminutive Mother Teresa, who devoted her life to caring for the sick and destitute. And others took up that mantle, and they continue to serve those who are in need. And from Scripture, there are remarkable women, and some that I had forgotten, and it was interesting going back and rereading their stories. A lady by the name of Jehosheba, who rescued her nephew Joash from his murderous mother, of all things. And then Naaman's servant, a slave, and we don't know her name, who had faith in God and helped Naaman being cured of leprosy. And then there was Joanna, who was part of Herod's staff, who followed Jesus after the crucifixion and followed his body to the tomb. It was Joanna and other women who were first to see Jesus alive. Just imagine their joy. And then we think of Lois and Eunice, Timothy's grandmother and mother. And then an interesting name of a woman, Zelophehad, daughters who had courageous faith. It teaches me and reminds me never to lose the wonder of God working in our lives, both men and women. And so we honor our mothers today. We honor our women. One of the great scriptures in the Bible in Acts chapter 2 goes this way. In these last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my servant, and they will prophesy. Prophesying is declaring the word of the Lord. It's not just some kind of future event. Be thou faithful unto death, and you'll receive the crown of life. That's a prophecy. It's the pouring out of God. Not only men declared the word of God, but I sometimes think that it would be great if we really knew who wrote the book of Hebrews. A number of scholars think it was definitely a woman, but they can't prove that. So it's interesting. So I want to take a look today just at a couple of interesting women. And we want to say thank you again to all our mothers, to all our women. Deborah, in Judges chapter 5, in verse 3, hear this, you kings. Listen, you rulers. I will sing to the Lord. I will sing. I will make music to the Lord, the God of Israel. And then verses 7 through 9. Village life in Israel ceased until I, Deborah, arose as a mother over Israel. And when they chose new gods, war came to the city gates, and not a shield or spear was seen among 40,000 of Israel. My heart is with Israel's princes, with the willing volunteers among the people, both men and women. And then in Judges chapter 5, a woman by the name of Jael, where it says, most blessed of women be Jael, the wife of Heber, the Kenite, most blessed of the tent-dwelling women. And then 31, so may all your enemies perish, O Lord, but may they who love you be like the sun when it rises in strength. And then we probably remember the sister of Moses, Miriam. In Exodus chapter 15, it says this, then Miriam the prophetess. Now again, it's interesting to note, prophecy isn't always just looking into the future. Prophecy is forth-telling the word of God, speaking the word of God. And so Miriam, the sister of Moses, Aaron's sister, took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women followed her with tambourines and dancing. And Miriam sang to them, sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider, he has hurled into the sea. And then there was Huldah, a prophet that saved the nation of Israel. For many years, the book of the law, the Old Testament, was lost. No one could find the book of the law. They couldn't find the Ten Commandments. They couldn't find the book of the law. They searched and they searched and they searched. It was nowhere to be found. For many years, it was gone. But Huldah came across it. And someone said, I believe this is the word of God. How will we know this is the word of the Lord? And one person said, take the book to Huldah. If Huldah says this is the word of the Lord, this is the word of the Lord. And Huldah was correct. Huldah said to them, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Tell the man who sent you to me, this is what the Lord says. I'm going to bring disaster on this place and its people according to everything written in the book, the king of Judah, and other gods provoked by anger and idols. God's anger has burned against this place. Tell the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, this is what the Lord God of Israel says concerning the words that you have heard. This is Huldah the prophet speaking. Because your heart was responsive, and you humbled yourselves before the Lord when you heard what I have spoken against this place and its people, that they would be accursed and laid waste. But because you repented, you wept in my presence, I have heard you, declares the Lord. Therefore, I will gather you to your fathers, and you'll be buried in peace. Your eyes will not see all the disaster that will come in the future. And so they took Huldah's message back to the king. And the king ordered Hilkiah the high priest to remove from the temple of the Lord all the articles that were made for idol worship. And Israel began worshiping the Lord again, truly, without idols, all because of this wonderful woman by the name of Huldah. And then some of us remember Esther, who becomes a queen. She was a servant in the house of Xerxes, a powerful king, yet a king who worshiped idols, not God. And Esther served the Lord, and King Xerxes chose her as his bride. And there was a lot of jealousy among many servants, particularly by a man whose name was Haman. Haman despised Esther, and Haman secretly plotted a plan to annihilate all of the Jews. And Esther, such a sweet, calm, loving woman, Esther approached the king, and she said this: if I have found favor with you, O king, and if it pleases your majesty, please grant me my life. This is my petition. And spare my people, the Jewish nation. This is my request. For I and my people have been sold for destruction and slaughter and annihilation. And if we had merely been sold as slaves, I would have been kept quiet, because no such distress would justify disturbing the king. Then King asked her, who is this person? Where is the man who has dared to do such a thing? And it was Haman, not a nice man. And that sealed his fate. Then the king created an edict granting Esther and all of Israel in every city the right to assemble and worship, all because of this remarkable woman. In the New Testament, there were women who declared the word of the Lord. Some we know well, some we don't quite remember. In Acts 21:8-9, Paul says, but Paul, on one of his journeys, stayed in the house of Philip, the evangelist, who had four daughters who prophesied. Four daughters who declared the word of the Lord, who said women didn't preach. Prophesy, declaring the word of the Lord. Phoebe was a servant of the church in Cenchreae, and Paul commented about her, saying, I ask you to receive her in my name, the Lord, in a way worthy of the saints. Give her any help she may need from you, for she has been a great help to me, many people, including me. Then he says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. And then these names: greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my relatives who have been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, the women who worked hard in the Lord. Greet Philologus and Julia. We don't know the story of these remarkable women, but they're in the scripture. Then there was Lydia, a woman who was listening to Paul's teaching. Lydia responded to the gospel, and scripture says that she and her entire household were baptized. And then Jesus first appears to Mary Magdalene following his resurrection. Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they've put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," Jesus said, "why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking that Jesus was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." And then Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him, recognizing that it was Jesus, cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. What an experience. So in conclusion today, just a brief sermon. There has been confusion and conflict regarding the Apostle Paul's restrictive passage regarding women not to be speaking in worship, not to teach or have authority over a man, but rather to be silent. So what in the world does that mean, especially after looking at all the other women who have been teaching and preaching? Well, it appears that there were women who may have been disrupting the worship service, asking questions during the worship service. And so Paul says, no, don't do that. I don't permit a woman to speak or have authority over a man. But what's happening is they're just causing a ruckus. And so don't disrupt the worship service. I also would suggest that it's true of men. I don't permit a man to speak or have authority over a woman. I don't permit that. Don't disrupt the worship service. Both men and women worshiping equally. And if there are questions, we'll answer the questions after the worship service. But both men and women serving equally, sharing equally, declaring the word of God equally. Women from the Old Testament and New Testament all coming together as one. And so that's why I conclude with the introduction. "In these last days," God said, "I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit. And they will prophesy." Men and women declaring the word of the Lord, sharing together, worshiping together, coming together. And my encouragement is that more and more people will come to the Lord because of our women sharing the word of the Lord to so many. I don't know about you, but on Mother's Day, I become nostalgic. My mother has been gone for a long, long time. My grandmother and so forth. And many of you have lost your mother, except knowing that you'll see them again. Our mothers, we think back on lots of stories in our life. And then when we become parents and our daughters growing up, we think, oh, what will their life be like? How can somehow we share the word of the Lord with them, to love the word of the Lord, to be the word of the Lord by sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ? To all of our mothers today, we wish you the very, very best. Happy Mother's Day, and may God bless you today and forevermore. Amen.
Lord, as we go into our week, we ask that your hand would be on each one of us, that you would show us what we should be doing to shine your light into a very dark world. God, we ask for your guidance to show us the next step, to show us a hand that needs to be held or a back that needs to be patted. Mm-hmm. We would ask for discernment and wisdom in figuring out what you would have us be doing. Lord, thank you for this time we've been able to spend together and for those who are gathered here, those who are gathered online and all around the world. We ask for comfort for those who are mourning, for those who are sick, your healing. And we pray that we will be able to be together again, if not here in this place, in your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for watching or listening. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV. Copyright 2011 by Biblica, Inc. Used by permission, all rights reserved, worldwide. You can learn more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.